Chapter 17. Nia pushed open the door, and there was a white wall facing her. She turned a sharp left to walk along a fairly narrow, short corridor between the wall and the shop window, and before entering the main gallery, she passed a door with a wooden sign that said, Ruby's Office. The gallery was a large, airy room. The light flooded in from the large shop window. Towards the back of the room, a long, high counter divided the gallery from where Richie was working. He had positioned his easel next to a large window at the back of the room looking over the garden. She was the only one in there, and as Richie was working with his back to the room, headset on, he didn't notice her. She glanced back at the office door. Ruby had sat in there writing that letter, saying she couldn't go on. Nia wondered what it was like in there now. Had Richie cleared it out, or had he felt unable to go in? She imagined it would be very painful. She was curious, however, about that room, wondered if some clue might be left behind about Ruby's state of mind the day she died. Walking quietly across the room, she returned to the office door and pushed down the handle. The door opened easily. It was very dark, and Nia felt around for the light switch. There were no windows in the room. It was larger than she expected and very tidy. She guessed Richie had not been in here yet. On the desk were a laptop and printer. The police must have worked on them in situ as they were still set up. There were photos on the wall of Richie and Ruby, as well as information and magazines from various charities Ruby supported. A wall calendar showing Ruby's plans for the year, mainly highlighting scheduled volunteering times at the helpline, but also fundraising events. At the end of the desk stood a rather sad plant, badly in need of watering. Nia suddenly realised how easy it had been to come in completely unnoticed. It dawned on her that if she had done it, so could anyone else who knew about this room. Checking nervously over her shoulder, even though no one could see her, Nia switched on the laptop and printer. No password was needed, and she was able to open a blank Word document easily. She quickly typed a few random words and pressed print. A piece of A4 paper slid from the printer. She picked it up, folded it, shoved it in her pocket. Without planning, she realised, she had made an important discovery. If the office had been vacant, anyone could have come in here that Sunday afternoon, typed and printed off the letter the police had found on the beach. Of course, at 5 on a Sunday, the gallery would have officially been closed, but anyone who knew the setup, anyone in the close, knew the front door was open and that the office was never locked. But what did that really mean? Jade didn't believe Ruby had taken her own life, and if someone else had written the letter, it would mean she was right. However, why would someone want to do that? Nia shook her head. She needed to speak to Jade. She left the office and went back into the gallery. Her heart was racing, but Richie was still painting, completely oblivious to her. Nia walked around the gallery in a daze as she thought about her discovery. She needed to tell the police, or maybe they already realised this. Maybe she would check with Jade. As she looked around, she spotted a small collection of Lucy's collages displayed with some of Richie's wood carvings on a stand covered in blue silk. The bulk of the wall space was, of course, occupied by Richie's seascapes, which she soon realised were all of beaches on the island. Nia found them fascinating, each one very different. Richie captured the sea in all weathers, all times of day and night. Nia, who knew little about art, sensed they were very skillfully painted. In a rack at the side were small prints of some of them, and she decided to buy one. Nia picked out one of Stormy Seas in which Richie had caught the enormous waves the second before they broke, the jaws of a monster, waiting to consume its prey. The colour of the waves graduated from the white foamy peaks to the deep, threatening undercurrent, and behind them the sea stretched in dark blues and blacks. It wasn't pretty, it was unsettling, but there was something about it that made it difficult to put down. Nia went to pay at the counter where there was a small notice that said, "Ring the bell hard or shout to get my attention." She rang the bell, and eventually Richie answered. He looked pale and tired. A weak smile greeted her. Could I buy a print? He blinked.
Of course.
Your paintings are wonderful.
Thank you.
His voice was flat and his eyes dull as they scanned the walls.
It must be hard being back at work, she said gently.
It's not too demanding churning these out?
He waved at the paintings. They don't look churned out. They're lovely. I know Ruby was very proud of your work.
Yes, she was. Her taste was similar to my father's, as you heard. She liked a picture you could hang on your wall.
You sound frustrated. Don't you enjoy painting these pictures?
It's okay. I know how fortunate I am. Because of my father's help, I have this beautiful gallery and I am making a tidy business here. Not many artists can do that. And I don't despise all the work I do here. The print you are holding is of the beach here. I remember taking loads of photographs on a stormy evening and coming back, working hard while it was all still there in my head. Yes, that one is one of the better ones. You have good taste. Ruby liked the quiet ones painted on sunny days, the ones I can paint in my sleep.
I shall treasure it. Thank you. Nia left the gallery and walked down the street. She could see Jade in the salon sweeping the floor. There was no client in there at that moment, and she went in. Can I talk to you, just quickly? She asked Jade. Nia told her what had happened in the gallery. Jade's eyes widened. That was very daring. I can't imagine you doing that. I know. It's not like me at all. I was just curious to see if it could be done. That letter is so important. It has taken precedence over everything. Any idea of anyone else going down the beach has been cancelled out by it, and all the facts made to fit around this one thing. Ruby must have taken her own life because she wrote the letter. Jade nodded. You're right, but if she didn't write the letter, I'm right in my belief she didn't kill herself. She looked up, her mouth open. But if she didn't kill herself, and someone else faked this letter, well, surely that means... She paused, and Nia held her breath. They looked at each other, neither daring to say the words they had been skirting around for days. The obvious reason for someone to fake a suicide letter is to cover up the fact they killed Ruby, said Nia. Jade slumped into a chair. I know I've never believed that Ruby took her own life, but I'd always thought it was an accident. I realised someone had probably been down with Ruby after you, but I'd not seriously thought they'd wanted to hurt her. I'd assumed they'd simply sat with Ruby, maybe not even realised she'd overdosed, and left her with no idea that she was in danger. When Ruby was found dead, I guessed they'd been too scared or cowardly to admit to being down there. However, like you say, if they took down a fake letter, then surely there has to be more to it than that. Did someone really plan to kill my sister? Nia sat down. She felt sick. It was too much to take in. Jade seemed to read her mind, tapped her knee comfortingly. I know, it's scary, isn't it? I never got around to ringing the police last night. I kept putting it off. I don't like to look like I am fussing, but they should know this. I'll phone them before the party tonight, okay? Nia stood up. Her lips were trembling. If she tried to speak, she knew she would cry. Hey, are you okay? You looked very pale yesterday afternoon at work. Is this all too much for you? Nia shook her head. It's not just the shock of what happened to Ruby. Something happened with my husband. It's complicated. I don't want to talk about it, but I will have to sort it out. That's okay. Listen, I'd sussed out something must be wrong. Any time you want to talk... Thank you. Nia left Jade. It was a relief to have told her about the letter. Maybe it would be good to get out that evening, let her hair down and forget everything. Nia spoke to a police officer. He took note of what she told him and told her someone would get back. She spent a lot of time on her makeup and wore one of her bodycon dresses, high heels, her hair, of course, tied back, and large hooped earrings.
As she was checking how she looked in the mirror, she received a visit from Jade. She was dressed in her usual clothes, the only concession to the party being lash extensions and a slightly tighter cropped top. However, she looked serious and not in any other way ready to party. They went and sat down.
"Tell me what happened," said Nia.
"I rang the police. Talked to that officer, Ben."
"Oh, right. What did he say?"
"I started by telling him that I was finding it very difficult to accept that Ruby had taken her own life. I told him I knew my sister and it was just not something she would have done. He was very conciliatory and said he could understand why this was so difficult for me. He suggested I talk to a therapist, explaining what a traumatic experience this was being for me."
Jade paused.
"I tried to tell him that it was more than just a gut reaction. There were other things that needed to be considered. I then told him Ruby always used red wax, and he interrupted me then and asked me if I've been talking to you about the candle."
"Oh dear."
"I was getting fed up with him by this point and said actually I'd come to my own conclusion about this and what you told me made perfect sense. He went on again about not being able to see colours clearly in the dark on the beach, but I reminded him about the ring and he had to admit they still haven't found that. Then we moved on to the letter. I told him about your experiment at the gallery and this is when his mood changed a bit."
Jade cringed.
"He didn't like that and said we should not be interfering, that we should be leaving the investigation to the police."
"I suppose he was bound to say that. But tell me, had they realised that anybody could have been in that office and faked the letter?"
Jade sighed. "Ben told me they had been through every eventuality, but they had to concern themselves with facts, and he went through it all again about Ruby having taken drugs before and that she'd been very unhappy. He pointed out there was no evidence of anyone else going down on the beach. They had interviewed people and no one had seen or heard anything. Also, they had extensively interviewed everyone in the close and no one had an apparent motive to want to hurt Ruby. Indeed, most people weren't even in the close when it happened."
"And the voodoo doll? Did you say you didn't think Ruby had sent that to herself?"
"I did, but again, he said there was no evidence of anybody sending it to her. He basically told me the case they would be putting forward to the coroner was that it was an accidental or deliberate overdose." He calmed down a bit then and told me it was very natural to be looking for answers, but the best thing I could do for myself and Richie was to try and accept what had happened.
Nia saw the despair and exhaustion on Jade's face, and for the first time she wondered if it would be better for Jade if they accepted what the police were saying. After all, they could dig around, upset a lot of people, and still not prove anyone else had been involved in Ruby's death. Indeed, they might discover the police had been right all along.
"I am wondering, Jade, if this might be a good time for us to drop this. Nothing is going to bring Ruby back. We could be wrong."
"No, no way," said Jade.
"Jade, this is your home. You could lose friends. It could even threaten your business. But if we stop now, I will still have all these questions in my head. I can understand if you've had enough and want to go, but I have to carry on."
Nia saw the determination on Jade's face.
"Then I shall stay and help you. I told you before why I wanted to keep digging. I just didn't want to force you into something you might come to regret."
Jade smiled and reached across, holding out her hand.
"It's agreed then. We fight on. Everyone in the close is a suspect, and, I guess we are saying, one of them faked the letter and went to the beach after you left. What we are really saying is that it is possible that someone in the close killed Ruby."
Nia took a deep breath.
"I agree. As to means, well, it seems to me that there could be a way for anyone to get hold of this ketamine if they were determined to do it. If nothing else, they know they could find someone on the island selling it. We need to keep digging around for motive, and also check if everyone was where they say they were the night Ruby died. If we are right, someone from the close has to be lying." She looked over at Jade.
"But one thing, Jade. I am still worried about you and your place here. I think I should be questioning people more than you. Let them think of me as some interfering woman, but you have to be careful. In any case, I have a bit more time on my hands than you to go running around."
Jade smiled.
"Fair enough.
She stood up. Right then, maybe we can make a start tonight. Let's go to this damn hen party.